Father, we just humbly come before the before your throne of grace. We love you and we praise you, and we praise you most of all for your only begotten Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we do thank you for Pastor Jack and the other members that are here, the body of Christ here. And so, Lord, we ask for a blessing upon them. We love you, Jesus, and we ask right now that you would open our hearts as we search your word to know more about you, to draw closer to you, and that Jesus Christ would be glorified. We pray, Father, that you would come, that you would send your Son soon for us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It really is such a blessing to be here, and I thank Pastor Jack and Pastor Mike, and we have some other wonderful friends, the Hamiltons, John and Sue, who we met with Pedro and some of the people in when they came over to Russia as they were serving Jesus Christ, working with the orphans. And John and Sue have been so gracious to me, and Kevin, I don't know if you remember him, he was here, I guess, in December. And we just thank the Lord for the body of Christ here, and we thank the Lord for all of you. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I am going to share a little about Russia and what's happening there, but we know that the Apostle Paul had gone through so many difficult trials and tribulations since the time he met the Lord on the road. And how he was beaten, how he was imprisoned, and the difficult times that he had had. We also, you know, that the difficult situations that are happening in Russia today. There's a very difficult political situation. Yeltsin, as you know, was very sick, not knowing what's going to happen. The economic situation with the new market economy has been very difficult for the people. Many people are not being paid. The pensioners are not being paid. The average wage is about $150 a month. And there's a tremendous amount of difficulty. As you know, that the former Soviet Union for over 75 years was under communism. And the people who walked in darkness, by the grace of God, they have seen the light, and that light is Jesus Christ. And we've seen what God has done in the hearts of the people. And as he pours out his Spirit, as they come to know Jesus Christ. And so we've seen the fruit that God has brought forth. But one of the things that the Lord has put on my heart, and I pray that to share with you today, is as Paul was having a difficult time, he wrote the second letter to Timothy just before he was probably beheaded and before he was killed. And he wrote to this dear man who was like a son to him. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll start in verse 7 if we may. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I just have a word of prayer. Father, we do pray right now, Lord, you'd open our hearts to your word. We love you and praise you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The thing that I believe the Lord has put on my heart for all of us today, Paul said, "For I know in whom I have believed." That really touched me very much. Through all the trials, through all the tribulations that you may be going through today. I know it's difficult whether we're in Moscow or we're in Cyprus or any place in the world. It is difficult sometimes. It seems like the world is just coming in around us. There are times when there are some difficulties in our families or there with our friends or at our work or at our school. And we feel that there is a difficult time. Paul was going through that so many different things. We read in 2 Corinthians some of the things that Paul had gone through. He was beaten. Sometimes he was hungry. Sometimes he was imprisoned. But the thing that, and the same thing with the people in Moscow, the thing that kept him going was that Paul never forgot in whom he had believed. Paul knew who he believed in. Paul never lost sight of Jesus Christ. His eyes were always on the cross, always that there was a hope in Jesus Christ. One day that Paul knew he would be with Jesus. And it's interesting, he said that he was persuaded. He knew with all his heart in whom he believed. And he was persuaded that what Paul had committed to him, that the Lord was able to accomplish. We see that in Romans 2 with Abraham. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed the promises of God. It's so important in our daily lives to believe the promises of God. All that he has promised you in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." Jesus is always there for you. Even in the trials and the tribulations and wherever you may be, Jesus is there. He didn't go away. He's there for you. And that really is a comfort for me as we're in Moscow and we see the difficulties that are there. But there's a spiritual battle in every part of this world. There's a trial and there's a tribulation. But our eyes and our hearts should be on Jesus Christ. See, he's always there. You know, he was tempted in all ways as we were, but without sin. He knows what you're going through. He loves you. He died for you. And he rose from the dead. Jesus knows our very frame. He loves you. Now that's a comfort for me, and I pray a comfort for you. Jesus knows exactly where you are right now. And Paul understood in whom he had believed. And it's important that that's a very important word, he understood. Our faith in Christ is not a blind faith. It's not just something based upon something that's out there. Paul knew in whom he had believed. He understood that. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith in verse 3, let's go to verse 1 first. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Paul understood. By faith he understood. It wasn't a blind faith. It was based. He understood what and who he believed in. That's very important. And Jesus talked about the same thing to understand in Matthew 13, verse 23. It says, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so our faith in Jesus Christ, we understand who he is and what he has done. Paul knew in who he believed. Paul knew who he trusted in. When I see the difficulty that the people in Russia are going through, the people in Moscow, they know, those who have come to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they know in whom they believed. Today, you should ask yourself, do you know in whom you believe? So many people say, well, I know about Jesus Christ. I've heard about him. In Russia, they hear about Jesus Christ. But do they know in whom they have believed? I'll tell you a story that my wife has shared with me. She had a grandmother who was 84 years of age. And my wife and her, they were talking about God. And as they were talking about God, her grandmother started to cry. And my wife said, "Gee, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" And she said, "You know, I know that God loves everybody. I know that God loves me. But I don't understand why he allowed that boy to die on the cross." Now, she was in the Orthodox Church all of her life. She was 84 years of age. But she never knew that boy who died on the cross was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. And it was by his shed blood upon a cross that washed away her sins by faith in him alone. She didn't know in whom she believed. Her faith was in rituals. Her faith was in everything but the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She didn't know who he was. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Now, you say, "Oh yes, I know he is the Son of God." That's wonderful. What does that mean? What does Jesus Christ mean to you? Who is he? Now, this is important. Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Jesus is God. One God eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is God. Do you believe that? If you do not believe that, you are not saved. If you have not realized that Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh and dwelt among us and they beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, you are not saved. Jesus said, as I said in John, "If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins." That's why the Mormons are not saved. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not believe in one God eternally existent in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They do not believe that Jesus is God. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the express image of his glory, the Father's glory. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one." Jesus is God. See, Paul knew in whom he believed. Paul knew that Jesus is God. Paul knew that he was the Messiah. The Jews in the early church knew what it meant when the woman at the well in John 4. So, you know, when the Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, he will tell us all things. And she says, "I am he." The Jews knew in the early church what it meant when the Son of God, the Messiah, would come. They knew Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. He's called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. They knew in whom they believed. They knew that Jesus is God. Do you know that? Are you trusting in the Almighty God, Jesus Christ? And so the first thing that Paul realized is that he knew in whom he believed. He knew that Jesus was God. He understood that. They were looking for him. They say, ask this, John the Baptist, who are you? Are you the Christ? They were looking for him. Why were they looking for him? And this is the second part. Because they knew the significance of who the Messiah was and what he would do. You see, there are many people who say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I know he's God. But there's another thing. It's also understanding what he has done. The significance that Paul knew is that this Christ that was going to come, God who would come in the flesh, that there was a purpose, there was a plan of God before the foundations of the earth, as you read in 2 Timothy, God knew who was his and what the plan of salvation was. Jesus said, I have come to save that which was lost. And that included me. That included you. The world, when Adam sinned, the relationship with God was broken. Sin separates you from God. That relationship was broken. And the plan of God before the foundations of the earth was to send his Son to die on a cross for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world. That is the plan of God. And see, so we need to know who Jesus is and what he's done. What did Jesus do for me, for you? What did Paul mean when I know in whom I believed? You see, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. You see, the work on the cross was a finished work. There was nothing else that needed to be completed to wash away your sins except by faith in Jesus Christ alone. See, Paul knew in whom he believed. In 2 Timothy, as we read earlier, it says in chapter 1, in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul knew in who he believed. See, the Jews earlier were trying to, they had a zeal for God. There are many people who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, if you can go there please for a second. Paul was a Jew, a Pharisee. He knew the Word of God. He also knew the zeal of the Jewish people for God. But he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That's the desire for Paul. He loved the Jewish people. And God said, "If I will," relating to the Jewish people, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you." Paul loved the Jewish people. His desire for the Jewish people is that they would see Jesus Christ. That they would have a you know, that Israel may be saved. But Paul says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." As we look around the world today, there are people who have a zeal for God. They're going out and they're doing things, but they have no knowledge of who He is and truly what He's done. There's a zeal, but there's no relationship. Why is there no relationship? Even though there's a zeal for God and people are serving Christ. And Paul says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God." What is the righteousness of God? That is Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous in Christ. By the works of the flesh, by the works of the law, no flesh is justified. Our righteousness is filthy rags before the Lord in Isaiah. What work could I possibly do to pay back what Jesus Christ has done on the cross? What could I do? And so the Jews did not submit to the righteousness of God, but wanted to establish their own righteousness, wanted to do the law, every part of the law. But the law was a tutor to bring us to Jesus Christ, to show us that we fall short, that we need the blood of Christ and the sacrifice upon a cross. And so, in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." It's faith. Faith in who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. The finished work on the cross. That is what we see so often, is that people, you know, we're in Russia and we see, "Well, I wear a cross. I'm a Christian. Well, I certainly come to church every single Sunday. Well, I come Wednesday nights also. I'm really on fire for the Lord. I come I really do a lot of work for the Lord." And when God sees how good I am and all that I have done, He's going to say, "Boy, you know, Alan, you've done a great job. I'm really proud of you. Wow, Alan, you're really great. You know, I need you in heaven. I mean, such a guy such as you, Alan, I mean, you're a pastor, you're doing this. I need you in heaven." I'm nothing. 25 years after Paul met Jesus on the road, he said, "Oh, what a wretch I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? It's only through Jesus Christ." And so many people don't know who He is and what He's done. They're not trusting in Jesus Christ. They're trusting in the works of their hands. They're trusting in Mary. They're trusting in the saints. They're trusting in the church. They're trusting in everything but Jesus Christ. If you're believing, if you have faith in Jesus Christ and something else, and you're relying on the other something in order to get you heaven, you're not saved. You're only saved by your faith in Jesus Christ. You're only justified by your faith in Jesus Christ, not by any works of your flesh. That's why Christ came to die for you. Because He loved you, and there was no other way to salvation except through the cross and His shed blood upon that cross and His death and His burial and His resurrection. Paul knew in whom he had believed. That's why he was saved. And he knew it. That's what 1 John 5:13, by knowing. Do you know that if you've committed your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you know that He is God, you know what He's done, you're not trusting in anyone else but Jesus Christ, you're saved. But if you're trusting in Jesus and something else, you're not saved. You're not trusting in Jesus Christ. You're trusting in yourself or something else in addition to Jesus. There's nothing else but Jesus. And faith in Him. That's what saves you. your faith in Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done. And that's what I see as I walk through Moscow and even in the United States. I'm a Christian. I do this, I do that, I do that. No, that's not what saves you. Saves you, you know that Jesus is God. You understand what He's done. You understand that His work on the cross was sufficient to take away your sins by faith in Him. His blood washes you from your sins. And your eyes are on Christ, not on anything else. You believe the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You receive it in your heart. Yes, I know that Jesus is Lord. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I want to commit my life to Him. I'm a sinner. I need the blood of Christ in my life. I want it to be washed. I want it to be cleansed. I want to go to heaven. That's where I want. I want to be with Jesus. And you humbly come before the cross at the feet of Christ and ask for forgiveness and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God. On what Christ has done, not on what we've done. And that is in whom Paul believed. He believed in the Christ. He believed in what Jesus had done. Now today, if you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and fully understand who He is and what He's done, you're not saved. It's time to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. To come to Him and let His precious blood wash you and cleanse you from your sins. There is no other way. There is no other hope. And therefore, Paul knew in whom he believed. Paul knew in whom he had trusted. Do you know? Have you ever truly come to the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you truly come there? Have you truly trusted in Him and rested in Him? That is what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I will in by no means cast them out. The desire of God is for not one single person to perish, but they would come to repentance and to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior, and the only hope for the world is Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, if you really haven't come to the cross, then you're living a lie. And God, in His mercy and His grace, wants to forgive you. He wants to say, Jesus, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not an emotional thing. Oh, yes, I'll come, and you see so many people falling away because they never really committed their lives. They don't really understand who He is and what He's done, and then say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I need Your blood. I know You're God. I know that You are the only hope for me. Unless I get on my knees and humble my heart before the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I am dead in my sins and I'm lying to myself. God wants to forgive you. He's a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of grace. And all He wants you to do is come to Him. Because He loves you. That's why Jesus came. He loves you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. The death, the burial, resurrection. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, it was in the Scriptures. The Jews knew that. Understood that. And unfortunately, so many have rejected it. Even today. If you've rejected that before, or really are not sure where you stand with Jesus Christ, God wants to forgive you. God wants you to come to the cross of Christ and humbly come to Him. But God has given us a free will to choose. Death or life, faith in Christ or continue the way you are? Do you know in whom you believed? That's the question today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we humbly come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you are God, and we can do nothing without you. We know what you've done, Lord. You have paid the penalty for our sins. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the glory. Father, as our heads are bowed, and Lord, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of the people who have not come to the cross, who really have never truly committed to Christ, understood who he is and what he's done, and today want to come to Jesus, want to be washed by the blood of Christ, want to be forgiven, wanting to know that they will be in heaven with Christ, that they have been living a life that they know in their heart they've never really given to you. And so, Father, I pray for those people who have not come to Jesus Christ, that right now, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Those who have not come to Christ, I wish you would just raise your hand to stand up and come to Jesus. He's calling you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to wash away your sins. God is a merciful God. God loves you. But you need to come to the cross. You need to come to Christ. So if there's anyone here who wants to come to Jesus Christ, God wants to forgive you. God loves you. And so if there's anyone here who wants to do that, just let the Lord touch you, forgive you, because he loves you. So I would ask you to, Jesus said, Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So those who would like to come to Jesus Christ today, I'd ask you to pray out loud with me to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.